Good evening and welcome to this evening's Cabinet meeting on Thursday the 6th of October 2022. It is just past 6:30. So, first of all, welcome to all our guests and welcome to Cabinet. I have to say, Councillor Patrick Farrington has sent his apologies, so as a result, I am chairing this evening's Cabinet meeting. And I would like to start by saying we've got such unexpected guests, and it's a delight to see Councillor Smith back with us in the four, and we're obviously delighted to see you, Mike, and thank you for joining us, and obviously I hope the next few months you will be able to continue with your recovery and recuperation.
Thank you very much, Chairman. yes, it's good to be back, but for the moment it's a bit of a trial. I just see what effects today's meeting has on me and all sorts of monitors and what have you. And all being well, I will be around until the next election.
Brilliant news, and we're delighted by that. And I was just saying that a number of councillors hold you in fond regard and keep sending their best wishes to you. So hopefully they'll be able to do that in face to face. Second of all, last time we were together was on the sad news of the death of the monarch. We obviously at the last council meeting welcomed the last monarch. The new monarch, King Charles III, as His Majesty the King, and in the meantime it seems to be in a fairly furious 4 weeks in between. So, thirdly, I wanted just to cover just some background, which is there are a number of us attended the Special Economic Development and Planning Scrutiny Committee on Tuesday night, and I just wanted to thank Councillor Cook for his adept chairing of that scrutiny committee, as that has helped inform today's session, especially the session that Councillor Beattie is going to cover in terms of item 4C. I would also like just to wish Councillor Jack Kemp a speedy recovery. Before we go on to tonight's agenda, I would just like to register a non-pecuniary personal interest as a non-executive director of Eccleshall Eagles Junior Football Club. That is a non-remunerated role. So, moving on, the agenda minutes. Are we from the 8th of September? Are we able to approve those, the true and accurate record for that meeting?
Yeah.
Okay, I will sign those. Apologies. Am I doing that?
Who's doing that?
I'm doing that, obviously.
You're doing that.
Thanks. But I do everything around here these days. So apologies from Councillor Patrick Farrington and from Councillor Jonathan Price. Item 3, Councillors' Question Time. There are none. So that brings us on to the proposals of Cabinet members this evening. First of all, from the Leisure Portfolio, Freedom Leisure Annual Report. Over to you, Councillor Trowbridge.
Thank you, Deputy Leader. Before I go into the Freedom Leisure Annual Report, may I also make an announcement. It's extremely sad news that Peter Taunton, our town crier, passed away this week. He has been a larger-than-life character for the borough for 25 years, and he has done so much to help me through my portfolio. Actually, he'll attend just the opening of an envelope, he really will. He's the most lovely soul and a larger-than-life character, but I must just send my condolences to Maureen, who was always by his side. I really, really feel for Maureen in this very, very sad time, and obviously all his close family. So I just wanted that recorded, and our thanks for everything he's done for the borough over the last 25 years. So on to Freedom Leisure Annual Report. So this is a report from April to March, that's April 2021 to March 2022. And of course, during this time, we were either in lockdown, just coming out of lockdown. So I just run through the highlights that April was when Stafford and Stone Leisure Centre reopened for the football leagues and organised sports. It was still very small scale. May was when the Met lighting rig was installed and swimming lessons started, and again on a quite a small scale. By June, the refurbishment of the gatehouse, and I must send my thanks to both officers of the borough, Freedom Leisure, and our MP Theo Clark, who all got heavily involved in getting the finance for this, but mainly for the staff of Freedom, who did an absolute excellent job in the refurbishment of the gatehouse, which then opened the 16th of July. August saw our heritage museum sites open. September, we had the Stafford Half Marathon. November was the big light switch on, where everyone seemed to attend. They think it was starting to get back to a bit of normality. December saw a huge amount of people go to the Panto, the Snow White Panto this year. January saw the Met seating installed. February, they replaced all the windows on the Stone Leisure Centre, and March saw the Stafford Half Marathon. So in that year, obviously there was no Shakespeare at the Castle, and there was quite a lot of things that weren't happening. But this report shows them coming out of COVID and the issues that they got through, and in my view did a very good job of getting through all those issues. Happy to take any questions on this. It's just a report I'm bringing to show you what's been going on.
Thank you, Councillor Trowbridge. I'm sure all of us would like to recognise the massive role that Peter Taunton had within the county town, and the significant service, and I'm sure we'd all like to echo your condolences to family and friends. Does anyone want to raise anything on this report? Clearly a key report in as much as it's been a difficult year for many of the communities that we serve, the leisure and cultural aspects play an important role for mental health, and equally play an important role for our visitor economy. So it's nice to have that annual report, and we welcome it. We're asked to note it for information. Are we happy to do so?
Yep. Just one little point, Chairman. As part of my recuperation, I now attend the cardiac rehabilitation at Stone Leisure Centre. And it's extremely well run.
Are you declaring an interest? Is that what you're
saying? No.
Okay, that's fine. So are we happy to note it?
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we're back with you for Yarnfield East Parish Councils. Page 23.
Yeah. This one was a bit of a difficult one. This is Yarnfield and Colmeath. They had £172,000, which was from a development site, as in S106 monies, that they, after talking with the members of this parish and the councillors, they were happy for the majority of it to go into Westbridge Park, into the contingency for Westbridge Park. They did, however, want 25,000 kept aside, of which they were taking 15 straight off. When we looked back, I couldn't find the 10,000, so I think I slipped up somewhere. So I'm asking for that 10,000 to be pulled back out of the contingency. contingency so that Yarnfield on Coldmeath can get on with delivering their project over there, which is mainly to it's mainly for which number was it, John? Apologies.
5.2.
Thank you. There we are. It's for the wildlife area and a wildlife corridor. I think 10,000 coming back out of the contingency will do no harm whatsoever, but happy to take everyone's advice on it.
Do you have any comment? Thank you, Councillor Trowbridge. Do you have any comments?
Well, it seems to me that £25,000 was promised to them in the first place. Usually, 106 money is preferably spent within the particular area where it's generated, and for them to allocate £200,000 plus towards Westbridge Park would seem to be pretty fair. And if an error was made, I think this is the correct option to put it back to correct that error.
Agreed.
You have an agreement?
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And presumably this wildlife corridor we will include in next year's annual report on climate change and biodiversity.
Absolutely.
On to the next item, which is Meadow Road Play Area in Barlaston. Still with you.
Right.
The Karen Trowbridge Show.
Yeah, it is the Karen Trowbridge Show today. I have three in a row here. And they are all the same. Would you like me to take them separately or all together?
I'm happy if you take them together.
Because it is the same thing that I'm asking, really. This is for Barlaston, and then St Mary's Road Play Area, Little Haywood, and then on to, take me a minute, sorry, and then on to Riverway.
That's Yarnfield, isn't it?
No,
Yarnfield.
That's yours. I've gone too far.
Yarnfield on page 37.
Thank you, and Yarnfield, that's right. So these three areas, it's all exactly the same. I've always thought that politics works better local, and this is parishes asking to take on the responsibility of looking after the play area in their area. So these three parks, basically three play areas or parks, we're looking at a 30-year lease for all three, which means they can apply for funding, and they can a few more of these may have a bit more of the wildlife coming into play on this as well. So all three reports very, very similar, and I just want to say to the parishes that are wanting to take on play areas and green spaces, thank you so much for caring so much about the areas close to where they live and represent, and I'd like to see more of this happen.
Thank you, Councillor Trowbridge. Any comments, Mike?
Well, a number of parish councils already run their own play areas in my life. the main point, I think, is the fact that the grant money that could be available to parish, I just want to make the point that it is not available to the borough.
Thank you.
Yes, you make a very good point there, Mike, and this is why it's much easier when the parishes take on ownership of these small areas of land, but that is why they really need the 30-year lease on them as so that they can apply for funding.
Are we in agreement with that course of action?
Yes. Right. Chair, can I suggest we agree to each one separately?
Okay.
Happy to do that.
So
we're starting with Barston. Are we in agreement?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, next on to Little Haywood.
Aye. Aye.
And the final one for this evening is Yarnfield.
Aye. Yeah.
Okay, I think we're all unanimous on those three. Thank you for your suggestion in terms of process. And that neatly brings us on to the environment portfolio, Councillor Whittington.
2 seconds.
Page 3.
This is works which. 2 seconds, I'll just find my notes and that'll be absolutely correct. This is a proposal that is going forwards for resurfacing of the site at the nursery at Riverway, and also to install a welfare unit at that site as well. The site itself has become less well looked after over the last few years. It is mostly stone, which has become quite holy ecclesiastical terms. There's a lot of heavy vehicles, a lot of frequent journeys made across that site, and it's become almost unworkable in the winter. So we need to resurface those internal roads. We do need to put in a welfare unit for the staff. The staff are, particularly the street scene guys, are sometimes in situations where they've got using chemicals, they're doing pest control, and it's only right that we look after our staff and make sure that they've got the ability to have showers and look after themselves. The funding has been provided for in the capital accounts, and basically I'm asking members to approve the proposal in front of you. At the end of the day, almost our most important asset is our workforce. They're the guys that go out and girls that go out on a regular basis. And this proposal will ensure that they were put at less risk because of it, and of course the machinery that's travelling over these quite horrendous roads, it reduces the risk of damage to them as well. So that's the proposal, please, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Winnington. So I think what you're saying is it's important to continue to invest in our assets and to ensure that they're fit for purpose. Does anyone have any further comment?
No, I mean, there's £101,000 in the capital programme anyway, so he's going to underspend, even using the contingency, by £610.75.
It's always great to have you back, particularly when you're happy to spend money. So clearly something's changed around here, so that's very good news. Are we in agreement with the proposal in front of us?
Agreed.
Okay, brilliant. I think that moves us swiftly on to the Economic Development and Planning portfolio. Councillor Beattie.
Thank you very much, Deputy Chairman. Well, these are exciting times. We've got the preferred options now published. Alex is coming to join me. The purpose of the report, as it states, is to approve the new local plan preferred options report with this long list of booklets that is shown in the papers, and also to recommend that the new local plan programme be updated with the latest revision of the local development scheme brought into effect from the 19th of October, replacing the existing scheme published in November 2021. That's the sort of bald facts of the matter. We have organised parish council meetings and public consultation meetings, exhibitions, and very widespread consultation right throughout the communities. And I'm very anxious that as many people as possible are aware of the opportunity to put their voices in and have their say on what is really a blueprint for the whole of the borough for the next 20 years, not just in terms of housing and commercial development, but also where our green spaces are going to go, where the play areas are going to be, dealing with climate change and nature recovery and so forth. It's a very wide-ranging document. It's one we're required to do by statute. We started last week, I think it was, or was it this week, with an exceptional scrutiny, economic scrutiny committee meeting, which has already been mentioned, for which I have to thank the members of that scrutiny committee for the very important points that they gave us for consideration. One of the points that has been very clearly made is that we have we're a growth borough, and we have been a growth borough for a number of years, and that involves building numbers of houses as required by government. And the figure that you will see in the document is 10,000 houses to be built or commenced within the next 20 years. I have to say that includes 6,000 houses that have already been built. And so really the figure that we have, we're looking for is 4,500 houses over the next 20 years, of which we are planning that 3,000 of those will go at this new garden village at Meesbrook. And I ask the public, the local communities, to look at the documents and see how we're trying to take this ribbon development away from Stafford and Stone and the major villages to concentrate it in a single place so that we don't see towns and villages joined up. It is extremely important. And when you look at the plans, bear that in mind. And I'd also just like to add that if you look at the appendices that have been added, you'll see the level and depth of work that has and is being undertaken right across the board by the team that's doing it, with the help of council staff right across the board. It's a massive piece of work. It will come to fruition in 2024, and I do thank the officers for the tremendous work that they've done. But most of all, would you take advantage of the opportunity that's out there now to go to the exhibitions, join the consultations online, and go to meetings where you can.
Thank you, Councillor Beattie, and thank you for the promotion, deputy leader to deputy chairman. I didn't realise that's pretty swift.
I thought you were on the council.
I am nothing if not adaptable and flexible. What comments do we have? Any questions?
Well, I wasn't at the scrutiny meeting, and obviously I've been missing for a while. But earlier on, I did make some comments. Perhaps Alex can answer these. On page 50, we talk about the hierarchy and the small settlements. And I just wondered, right at the bottom, I just wondered why they were in there when we're not intending to build any of the smaller settlements. And I think that's the question I asked when we fed back to Alex 2 or 3 months ago. As I say, the only houses that will be approved in those are barn conversions, I take it, which is no different than the situation now. So I just wonder why we bother itemising smaller settlements when they're not going to be used.
I think the first thing to say is that some of one or two of them have got neighbourhood plans in process for a start, and where they are putting forward their own neighbourhood plans, they may want to see some small-scale development. It's not in our interest to prevent or to stifle all kinds of development in every kind of village. It's not wise, and I suspect it's probably not legal either.
Well, can I just come
back
on that?
I don't know if
it probably would answer the question, but of course I was heavily involved in trying to get a neighbourhood plan in Hyopley Parish, which comprises Wood Cedar, which is a key service village. And we did put forward plans for houses in that area, and the inspector threw it out. And that really grates with people in Wood Cedar.
I think the other thing I'd just like to add.
Chair's fine.
That we are also waiting for possible new planning legislation. And I have to say again that the officers are working in quite difficult circumstances, because we've seen a planning bill. We don't know what part of it's going to come forward, when it's going to come forward, and if it's going to come forward. So we very much took the view that we carry on, and we may have to make adjustments anyway. There may be advice that reflects what Councillor Smith has mentioned.
Thank you. Councillor Leeson.
Yeah, thank you. In terms of what Mike said about some of the smaller villages being included in this, almost a list of what's a medium-sized village or a large village and what's a small village. I have a concern, and I've had a concern for several years now, that some of the smaller villages and the medium-sized villages are actually dying on their feet. We can all recount shops, pubs, schools, churches are in a bad place at the moment. And if we completely stop development in these smaller villages, we are slowly suffocating them to death. We're stopping local people being able to afford some of the smaller housing. I just feel that we need to make sure that the point that was made by Mike and by Francis, if there's a feeling within a locality that they want to allow one or two houses, we should make sure that the local plan doesn't stifle that. And I know of people in Banton, even Nosal, that the younger generation want to work, and they want to work locally. We want to increase economic growth within the rural areas, and Staffordshire is, and Stafford, or I think reflects it, a largely rural area. So I'm not talking about farming, I'm talking about rural growth per se. If we want to provide that growth, we've got to allow some flexibility in terms of provision of housing, and some flexibility in terms of economic activity, so even if it's just at small enterprise centres. But the point I would make, and I will make when it comes to the consultation, we've got to look after our rural areas and let them grow organically, but local people have got to be on board. And this was a message that I picked up from the National Conservative Conference this week. What they're saying is, if it works for local people, even if it's something like wind turbines, if local people are happy with it and can benefit from it, we shouldn't stifle it through the planning process. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Trowbridge.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank Councillor Beattie for bringing this to us. I know the amount of work that goes into this is huge, and so her and her team, especially Alex, who leads on that team, I just wanted to thank them for all the work that goes into this. And I was at that scrutiny committee, and what was shown to us was just fabulous. The balance was right, and it is about getting that balance right throughout the board. And I just wanted to thank you, Councillor Beattie.
Thank you. Thank you. I think we would all echo our thanks and congratulations to the team and to you, Councillor Beattie, on what is, you know, a labour of love, effectively. And the number of stages this still has to go through, public consultation clearly, but then an examination through the planning inspectorate. So there's still a number of stages yet to go through, and it's really important that people see that as the opportunity. And this is the real opportunity for people to comment as part of a consultation, whether they agree, disagree, support. This is the opportunity for their voices to be heard, and we need to encourage as many people to take part in those consultations. So I welcome you and the team going out far and wide across the borough to engage with people and to get that message across.
Can I just add one final thing?
Please.
We live in hugely changing times in terms of planning and the allocation of human beings in proportion to nature and climate change and so forth. When anybody is looking at this plan, we need to look at what it's going to be like in 20 years' time.
Mm.
It's very easy to look at the situation as it is now. Talking about rural villages, we now have access to broadband that wasn't there before. People can work from home in the villages. I'd like to see that that brings back the opportunity for village shops and so forth. The idea that you can't have a very small village having any development because there isn't a bus service, I would say perhaps that doesn't apply or isn't going to apply in the future, because if people will be working from home in a way they didn't before. The transport services will change, the use of electric vehicles and so on. All of these are factors that we need to build into this document and to be thinking for the future.
Thank you.
Really for the next 40 years that we're planning now, long after I've gone.
I hope that's not the case. Anyway, but I think you're right to talk about the aspiration for our communities, and this, I think, sets the aspiration for our communities. Clearly, in terms of numbers, I think you were indicating that, you know, what is currently a target of about 500 goes up to potentially a target of 535 houses. But it's also critical to get the infrastructure right to support any of that development. I think one thing that you haven't mentioned, so it's kind of you to leave it for me to mention, is that whole bold climate change proposal on new development. And I think that will put us, so I understand from the scrutiny session, as the leading council in terms of local plans within the country, if we can get this through both our communities and the planning inspectors. So I commend you on your aspiration and your ambition and that of the team. We are asked to agree for this to go to consultation and to seek the views of the general public on all of these documents. I note that there is a whole raft of reading, not just a weekend's reading, but probably a few more hours on top. But we've given until the somewhere in December, I think, from memory.
December the 12th.
So at least it isn't just before Christmas. Are we in agreement that this goes out to public consultation?
Absolutely.
Brilliant, thank you. Take that as read then. I think we're all in agreement that that goes to public consultation. At that stage, I think that brings the end to this evening's Cabinet meeting. Wish everyone a good evening and thank you. Thank you.